worshiping today because God is worthy. Amen. Amen. But for my scripture text, I want you to hold on to Hebrews 4 and 8. Does everybody have that? Hebrews 4 and 8. If you've got Hebrews 4 and 8 pulled up, say amen. And meanwhile, I am going to pull up here on the screen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107. And this is really where my text is coming from. Psalm 107 and 17. Preaching from a passage I've never preached from before. Psalm 107 and 17. And it reads as follows. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. How many have ever done something foolish? Amen. How many of you understand that we are afflicted sometimes because of our foolishness? Amen. But he goes on to say that verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Thank God, even when we're fools, we can cry unto the Lord in our trouble. And he saveth them out of their distresses. But this is the part I want to focus on. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's kind of odd, isn't it? The wording there is a little strange to me. It didn't say he personally showed up and healed them. It said he sent his word and healed them. Because that's all he needed, was his word. Praise God. And what I want to speak to you about is just that. He sent his word and healed them. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and our voices to the Lord one more time. As for his blessings, as his word goes forth today to minister to us. Amen. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what we feel in this place. There is truly a sweet spirit here today. We pray, Lord, for your divine anointing. Lord, touch our ears to hear, our minds to understand, our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. I think that the wording here again is rather interesting, because he said in Psalm 107 that fools are, the problems that they are afflicted because of their transgressions. The problems that they have are of their own making, as we've already pointed out. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. They are, in other words, they are responsible for their situation. They are where they are because of decisions that they have made. And one of the first things we have to do if we want to get deliverance from God is that we have to acknowledge that we are where we are because of decisions that we have made. Amen? You cannot live in a state of denial and expect God to deliver you. Because if God delivers you in a state of denial, you'll get right back into that situation because you never fully admitted, appreciated, understood why you were there to start with. Amen. But the Bible said they cry to the Lord and he saves them. He saves them, it said in that passage, he saveth them out of their distresses. Everybody say their distresses. In other words, he saveth them from their own problems, things that they created. He saves them from their destructions, delivered them from their destructions. Problems that they created, they didn't accidentally happen. They are not just bad luck. Sometimes we blame luck when the truth is that we are often in the mess we are in because of our decisions. Amen. And so he said that he delivered them from their mess. But thank God he saves us even when the mess is of our own creation. Praise God. But the word said he sent his word and healed them. It doesn't say that he personally showed up, but his word alone was sufficient to heal. His word alone was sufficient to deliver them from their destructions. Can you say praise the Lord? Matthew chapter 8 tells the story about a centurion whose servant was sick. And the Bible said that when he came to Jesus to get healing for his beloved servant, that the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." But he said, "All you've got to do is where you are is just speak the word. That's all you've got to do is just say the word, because I know that you have the authority and the power to bring healing to my servant." He had tapped into something that we as children of God miss, and it is that there is power in the word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to preach something here for the next few minutes, and some of you are going to nod your head. Now some of you are going to be afraid to nod your head when I get done. You're going to, don't worry, it ain't another last Sunday. Amen. You're going to nod your head. You're going to say you believe it. You're going to say you appreciate it. You understand it. You stand on it. And then I'm going to show you that you don't. Hallelujah. But there is power. How many of you believe that there is power in this book? Psalm 119 and 9 says, "A young man cleanses his way by taking heed to the word." Psalm 119 and 11, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In other words, the word alone hidden in your heart is powerful enough to prevent sin. Psalm 119 and 105, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word alone is sufficient to light your way. Praise God. Psalm 138 and 2, he said, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." I'm here to proclaim to you today that the word has power that even the name does not, because he has placed the word above the name, because there is nothing that has preeminence over the word of God. There are some things that you could pronounce in the name of Jesus and will not happen because they are contrary to the word of God. But the word of God takes precedence over everything. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces?" There is power. There is authority in the word of God. Amen. It was the word of God spoken through the prophet Ezekiel that brought breath unto dry bones. He said, "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." Just the word of God brought breath. Just the word of God put skin on the bones. Just the word of God caused the dead to stand up and walk again. Psalm 33 and 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." He simply spoke it and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke it and it came into being. You can't live without the word of God. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus
Jesus said, my word is enough to cleanse you. He told his disciples, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. There is power in the word of God.
Do you believe that? It is so great today that the word cannot return void. It cannot be made totally ineffective. Isaiah 55 and 11 says this, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. I began to think about that analogy of the rain coming down and the snow coming down. And it dawned on me that water never goes to waste. There is a finite amount of water on planet Earth. And that water is in a constant state of circulation, because the water falls to the earth. And somebody might say that the water, when it falls to the earth, it runs into the soil and then it disappears. No, some of that water runs into lakes and into streams. Some of it goes into the groundwater. Some of it gets sucked up by plants. Some of it evaporates back up into the atmosphere. But if it goes into the plants, or if it goes into the lakes and the streams, sooner or later it finds its way to a bigger body. And sooner or later it gets evaporated back up into the atmosphere, and the cycle starts all over again. And what God is saying is, there's no such thing as water that gets totally wasted, because it's going to come back sooner or later. It's going to make the cycle back around. And that's the way the word of God is. It's never going to be totally wasted. Sooner or later it's going to make a cycle back around, and it's going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish.
Now that rain, when it comes down, Brother Gray, that rain, sometimes it has an instant effect. Sometimes on your garden, amen. But you know something? Notice he said, there's also snow from heaven. How many Yankees we got in the house today? Got a few. Y'all seen some snow, hadn't you? You know, snow can sit on the surface for months during the year, and it just kind of sits there, and the cold weather doesn't allow it to melt, and it's not hot enough for it to evaporate. And so it just sits there, and it never actually sinks into the soil. But sooner or later, the weather starts to warm up, and sooner or later, the snow starts to melt, and sooner or later, the snow starts to seep into the soil and run down into the rivers and into the stream. I'm telling you, there are some of you that the word of God was preached to you months ago or years ago, and it's been sitting there like snow, and it's just been in a state of frozenness. But I want you to know that the day is going to come, because the word of God cannot return void, that the day is going to come that sooner or later that snow is going to melt. Some of you have been witnessing to a lost friend, witnessing to a lost loved one. Sooner or later the snow is going to melt, and it's going to do the work that God has ordained it to do.
Am I telling you the truth? Rain, water, and snow never return void. They always accomplish something. 2 Timothy 2 and 9, Paul said, the word of God is not bound. We all agree on this. We all say we believe it. Nobody would argue that point. But in practice, we don't live that out in our day-to-day lives. And it is possible to make the word of God impotent in your life. Now listen to me. The Lord said the word of God will not return void. But what he didn't say was that it will not return void for every single person. Let that sink in. Let that snow melt just a little bit. What he said was the word of God will have an effect, but it may not have an effect on Jeremy Davis. You see, you got to rightly divide the word of God. He said it cannot return void. But saying it cannot return void and saying it that I won't reject it are two different things. He said, Jesus said this himself to the Pharisees. He said in Mark 7:13, you make the word of God of none effect. He wasn't contradicting the Old Testament. He wasn't telling them that the word could return void. But what he was saying is, by your actions, you take away the effect in your own life. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So these two principles, that the word can't return void, and yet Jesus said that some would not profit, the word said some would not profit, seem to be in conflict. But yet the word cannot return void. So even if you make it impotent in your own life, it will work for somebody else. What are you trying to say, preacher? There have been times that I've preached messages before from this pulpit, and I had in my mind that there was an individual that needed to hear a particular word. And I have preached it, and they have refused it, or in some cases didn't even show up to receive it. Amen? And I'd say to myself, you know, I'd get all down. Well, Lord, the person that really needed to hear that word, they weren't even there to get it. Or they didn't respond to it. They didn't repent. They didn't react. It had no effect on them. But I have to remind myself that the word of God will not return void. Somebody got something out of it. Because the word of God is not going to go back without having an effect. Jesus told the parable of the sower. Listen to me now. What did he say? He said the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed some seed, and he said some fell by the wayside, and he said some fell on stony ground, and he said some fell among the thorns. And he said the seed is the word of God. He said some fell on good ground, and it sprouted, and it brought forth a hundredfold, etc. But he said that there were three places that the seed fell on that seemingly had no effect. He said on the stony ground, and he said by the wayside, and he said among the thorns. And I thought to myself as I began to think about it, but Jesus kind of threw us a little nugget in there to let us know that the word cannot return void. Because he said even the seed that fell by the wayside, birds got something to eat. He said the fowls of the air came down and ate it. Somebody got some benefit out of it. But Pastor, what about the seed that fell on the stony ground? Well, if I know anything about stony ground, I know this, that seed is organic. And what happens to organic material? It eventually decomposes and breaks down. And the seed breaks down on the stony ground and eventually turns into soil. And the more seed that breaks down into the stony ground, the more fertile the stony ground becomes. So what he was saying is, even the seed that fell on stony ground served a purpose. Because the more seed you threw on it, the more fertile the soil became. What about the seed that fell among the thorns? Well, thorns and weeds grow up. Because, again, the ground is not fertile enough. But you put enough fertilizer down, and eventually the good stuff will start to grow. Amen. And so what he was saying is, no matter where the seed ended up, it was doing something that was good. It was laying a foundation for down the road. Amen. You may not be able to grow anything in the stony ground today, but because the seed was sown, somebody's going to reap from the stony ground down the road. Praise God. The word is going to help somebody. But this is the main point of today's message. And I'm about to wrap this up here in a second. I'm going to take you over to Hebrews in just a minute. But if you don't hear anything else that I have said today, you need to hear this. Far too many times, as children of God, and I've been guilty of this as a pastor. So get this, let this sink in. Remember, the title of this message is, He Sent His Word and Healed Them. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, you get this. Way too often, we look for answers outside the Word for solutions that only the Word can provide. I have been guilty of this as a pastor. I have tried to help people and do for them what the Word could not. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Pastor? Sometimes, you know, we as children of God, we want to help everybody, don't we? But we got to come to an understanding, Brother Preston, that if you're working with somebody and the Word can't help them, Preston can't help them. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to acknowledge that. We want to think, I can do something that God can't do. I can work in a way that maybe I need to do this or maybe I need to do that, as though we have something to offer that is better than the Word. But He said the Word. He sent the Word and it healed them. I want you to turn to Hebrews for me real quick, where you are. Hebrews 4 and 8. Listen to what He said. He said, for if Jesus had given them rest. Does everybody see that? For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward, have spoken of another day. By the way, this is one of the reasons I've used this scripture on many occasions to explain to people why that you can't just accept Christ and be done with it. Jesus told His disciples, and it says right here, He says, you don't have everything you need. You got to go to Jerusalem, and you've got to wait for the promise of the Father. He said, I'm going to send you rest. But the rest is not coming just because Peter said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, that's not enough for you, Peter. You got to go up to the upper room on the day of Pentecost, because when you get to the upper room on the day of Pentecost and you wait for the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost falls, you're going to get the rest that I promise. So Jesus said, there's more to it than that. Pentecost would not have been necessary if Jesus had given them the rest. But the Bible says Jesus did not give them the rest. Amen. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he gave it on the day of Pentecost in the power of the Holy Ghost. But look at what He said, verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Paul is speaking here to Holy Ghost-filled believers, and yet he tells them that they have to labor, let us labor, to enter into the rest. He's talking to people that already have the Holy Ghost, but he said you've got to labor to enter into the rest, because even if you have the Holy Ghost, you can lose your rest, you can lose your peace through unbelief. But this next part, I saw this week. I've been preaching this for years, and I've never seen this before. First time in 40 years of reading the Bible, studying the Bible, first time I've ever seen what I'm about to show you today. Because I have preached from this passage about rest, and I always stop right here. Because this is the subject of rest. That's why I wanted you to bring it up in your Bibles, because I wanted you to see what the next verse says. Because see, verse number 12 says, for the word of God. Wait a minute. Wasn't he just talking about rest? For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I have quoted the part about the rest, and I've preached from it. I've taught on it. I've quoted the part about the word of God being quick and powerful, but I never realized until this week that Paul tied the two of them together. You've heard people quote this. But he's talking about it in the context of the rest. What is he trying to say? True rest comes when we let the Word of God cut into us and do its work. It doesn't come through carnal means. It doesn't come through human ideas. It doesn't come through human solutions. It comes when that sword of the Spirit cuts us open. It comes when that hammer that Jeremiah talked about breaks us. It comes when that sword divides our soul and our spirit. It comes when that soul discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What are you trying to say? I'm telling you that your fellow church members, your pastor, they can encourage you, they can exhort you, but only the Word can cut you where you need to be cut. Only the Word can do it. I told you when I started today, and I'm closing, I told you my voice was weak, and it really is. But I think that the Lord, I'll probably pay for what little bit I did here later on this week. But what the Lord reminded me of this morning as I was thinking about that, about how I could preach this message without much of a voice, the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, I'm reminding you that the power of the Word is not dependent upon the volume of the voice. The power of the Word is not dependent upon who the speaker is. You know, this is one of our problems in church, especially in apostolic churches. Apostolic people have more preacher religion than any other church out there. We got our favorite preachers. I posted something on Facebook here a while back because I got irritated. I get irritated with Facebook a lot. But I got irritated because I see people post stuff and they'll post a quote from someone and I say, oh my dear God, that ain't even remotely close to being true. But because it was said by somebody at a conference who had a big name, people just swoon like it's Elvis or something. And so I posted on Facebook one day. I said, you know, if somebody says something from the pulpit, it's not true because of who they are. It's not true because of what big name they have. It's not true because of how big their church is. It's not true because of how well known they are. If it is true, it is true because the Word says it. And our problem in Pentecost is one of the reasons why we have so much trouble getting behind people who may not be the most polished preachers and the best preachers is because we're putting more emphasis on the messenger than we are on the message. And we walk out of church services where we should have been changed. Because the preacher wasn't the most eloquent, wasn't the most boisterous, didn't climb the pews, didn't swing from the chandeliers. And we walk out of services where we should have been changed, but we were not changed because all we could focus on was who was the man delivering the Word. Instead, the Word was trying to cut us open. We're like somebody that goes into a hospital. It's got cancer. And they say, well, I don't want that doctor. He's too ugly. I don't want that doctor. He's too fat. I'll come back next week and see if y'all got any better looking doctors. Go in next week. I don't like that doctor because his degree is from Clemson. I don't like that doctor because his degree is from South Carolina. I'll come back next week and see if you got a better doctor. And meanwhile, the cancer is growing because we don't ever let anybody cut us open. Am I telling the truth? Because we're more interested in what the doctor looks like, where his degree came from, than we are in actually letting the surgery take place. And when it comes to the Word of God, it's not about who the speaker is, how loud I am, how passionate or how dull the speaker is. The Word is powerful because it is the Word. In every single sermon you hear, I like what Brother Jeremy said today when he turned the service over. He and I had not coordinated this, but it was just leading of the Holy Ghost. He said, you've got to submit to the Word. Those were his words. And it doesn't matter who is up behind this pulpit when the Word is being delivered. You need to say, God, what are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to cut out that ought not to be there? Lord, I'm an open book. Do surgery wherever you need to do surgery. Cut me open. Take it out. Whatever's got to be taken out because I want to be saved. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and our voices to Him. Are you going to let the Word operate on you today? It's quick. It's powerful. Somebody needs rest. Somebody needs peace. Somebody needs comfort. The Word can do what I can't. The Word can heal. He sent His Word and it healed them. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love Him right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. If it's appropriate, I want you to find somebody, pray with them right now, and I want you to tell them, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to pray. You got to understand, you can't help them if the Word can't. But if they will open up their heart to whatever their need is, whatever their situation, whatever their circumstances are, I want you to pray with them right now. And I want you to say, I want my brother, I want my sister to be receptive to the Word and let it do its work in their life. Could you pray that with them right now in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, let that hammer break me. Lord, let the Word cut me. I want to be cut open. I want to be operated on. I want that surgery to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Come on, that's it. Pray for one another for just a minute. Open us up to the Word. Open us up to the Word. Open us up to the Word.
I am the Lord.
You got to understand, my healing's not going to come. Hey, I love my pastor, but my healing's not going to come from my pastor.
And I
love my brothers and sisters in the church, but my healing's not going to come from my brothers and sisters in the church.
Your healer.
I love my family, but my healing's not going to come from my family. I've got to let the Word of God cut me open. I've got to let the Word of God do its work. I've got to let the Word of God heal. Oh, hallelujah.
I send my Word. And I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Oh, yes. Come on, sing it.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my Word.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, let it speak to me. Let it speak to me. Let it speak to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
I am the God.
I need you, Jesus.
That healeth thee.
I need you, Jesus.
I am the Lord, your healer. I send my Word. And I healed your disease.
Come on, let it move on you. Let the Word do its work today.
I am the Lord, your healer.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Why don't you find yourself a place to pray? Let's everybody spend just a few minutes in prayer. Could you just kneel somewhere wherever
I'm
you are?
The Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I sent my word and I healed your disease.
I am the Lord, your healer. Oh, yes.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.